Welcome to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Mary Hartnett. Republican Jacob Bossman defeated Democrat Rita DeYoung by a wide margin in yesterday's 6th District special election to take the place of Jim Carlin. Carlin moved on to the state Senate last month. The Woodbury County Auditor's Office says nearly 20% of voters came out to vote, which is a big turnout for a special election. Bossman works for Republican U.S. Senator Charles Grassley and lives in Sioux City. DeYoung is a retired teacher and principal in the Sioux City Community School District. DeYoung had a lot of support from the Woodbury County Democratic Party and also from a national postcard writing campaign that tries to turn red seats blue or from Republican to Democrat. The election was the first test of Iowa's new photo voter ID law. The law requires voters to show a state-issued photo identification card when they vote. It went into effect January 1st. Iowa Secretary of State Paul Pate was in Sioux City yesterday to oversee what he calls the soft rollout of the voter ID law. He met with Woodbury County Auditor Pat Gill and reporters at the county courthouse yesterday afternoon. Pate said that this first tryout of the new law was going smoothly, with voters bringing their IDs and poll workers being prepared for the change.
We're very excited. This is our first election with the new Voter Integrity Act that was passed by the legislature last year. And what we're looking at here is, for the voter, is the voter ID component. They're coming in and using their voter registration ID card or their driver's license or a passport or a state ID. That is the options they have.
Pate toured the election precincts and said he was impressed with how well prepared Woodbury County was for this special election.
Our election staff, I think, is doing a great job. The county auditor, Pat Gill, has worked with his local precinct workers to make sure they're familiar with the process. And what I'm hearing is good things today, that the folks are coming in and they're doing their voting. They understand the process is simple. You register to vote, you bring your ID, and you vote. It's that basic. And it isn't overly complicated in that regard.
Pate said for most voters using the new voter ID process, it was fairly simple.
Most of them, it's nothing different. They come in, they hand the ID, and they vote as normal as can be. Our poll workers have a little different task here or there, but what I'm seeing is it's seamless, and we're not seeing lines. We're seeing a normal voting process. And we'll look forward to seeing that same thing in February, when about 30 counties will be having some special elections of their own, mostly for school issues, and they'll have a chance to test the new voter ID law as well, well before this June when we have the big primaries.
Pate says this year counties have a chance to learn the new system with what he calls a soft rollout.
Well, it is, in a sense, the debut of voter ID. It also gives us a chance to see how all the pieces are working. It allows us to make some adjustments if they're necessary. And we also want to hear what's working well so that we underscore that and keep building on it with the other counties as they go forward. And it's nice to be able to do it in a special like this for me, frankly, because we're not doing it necessarily countywide or statewide. We have a little laboratory, if you will, where we can kind of watch and take notes and again, try to improve where we need to. But I think for a lot of us, it's really just what we thought would happen, and it's going well.
Pate said the new voter ID law doesn't seem to have affected voter turnout.
From what I'm hearing, I don't think it's impacted it at all. I think we're hearing some pretty good numbers for a special election. So I think Iowa's got a great track record on voting. Let's just get that out there. 93% of Iowa's eligible voters are registered. And of that 93%, 93% are voters. They actually go out and do it. They're active. They participate. We are very proud of that. And the voter ID component, I don't believe, has any impact on that. And in other states, when they've done it, they haven't seen an impact either.
Pate said this year, it won't be a problem if voters come to the polls without their ID.
For those folks who perhaps forget that ID, they'll be given the opportunity to just sign an affidavit as to who they are for this round, because our goal here is to make sure every eligible voter gets to vote. We don't want to leave anybody out.
Secretary Pate was also asked about the possibility of voter fraud in Iowa.
We don't have any massive, formal, intense, organized fraud going on in the voting arena, not in Iowa. But that doesn't mean I don't value every vote. And when we see whether it's one fraud or a dozen or 20 come before us, that's too many. And when you look at some elections, especially in the city elections, we have places where we're drawing the name out of a hat because they're that close of a result. So we want every vote to be counted in the right way. But for me, it's about the technology. So now, a lot of people want to talk about the fraud. I would just like to say that it's really about making sure that we've got the technology and we're using that to our benefit to manage the elections better and make it seamless.
Woodbury County Auditor Pat Gill worked with Pate throughout the day as the special election was underway. Gill said there were very few issues with the new voter ID law.
Some folks say they don't want their ID scanned, so we've told them they don't have to have it scanned. We can link them up in the voter in the electronic poll book easily that way. So if they have any concern like that, we don't have any issues. I visited all 10 polling places this morning and had a little bit of everything that would occur. We actually, I witnessed two folks that came in with the voter ID that the Secretary of State's office issued, and they scanned it. It worked perfectly. There was no issue with that. We did have an elderly lady that did not have a voter ID, and she simply had to sign the oath that she was registered, and she's the person who she said she was. And
Gill said some in Woodbury County had concerns about the costs of recent special elections, and others were less than pleased with the short time frame for the campaigns.
Well, if you're a supervisor, the Board of Supervisors, they never want like to see us paying out that money. But, things do occur. This is the first time that we've had a special election during a legislative session, so I was very compressed. And we did have some folks that, complained about that as far as being able to participate in the absentee process. But it's just, those are things we don't have any control over. We get the ballots on a relatively short period of time. We work with our printer. We got them tested and dried and then mailed them out. In fact, in the mail today, we got 286 ballots back today. So it is working.
Gill said while it was a cold day, the weather didn't seem to affect turnout. Jacob Bossman says his understanding is that the final election results will be certified by the Secretary of State's office on Monday, and he could be sworn in as soon as January 23rd. You're listening to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Mary Hartnett. The Iowa legislature began its 2018 session last week. One of its priorities is tax reform. Republican Governor Kim Reynolds has said she would like to lower personal income taxes. The Republican-led House and Senate agrees, but Democrats fear those cuts may make it harder for the state to balance its budget. Thomas Sands is president and CEO of the Iowa Taxpayers Association. The former State House representative says one of the big issues for Iowa is to end the practice of deducting federal taxes from state tax returns.
Federal deductibility doesn't send more money to the federal government, but it sends more money to the state government. So it's an increase on taxes, but it's an increase on their state taxes. And then the caveat we've always had as an organization, or at least are taking at this particular point and did last year or recent years anyway as well, is we support the elimination of federal deductibility as long as there's an offsetting rate decrease, so it's used for more of tax reform and not for a revenue grab by the state.
Also, the governor was talking about dealing with individual tax rates. Apparently, from everything I've read, it says the top state tax rate is 9% for individuals. Is that high compared to other states?
It is. The tax foundation that we work with pretty closely does a lot of different studies, and on business taxes, we are like the 40th. There's only 10 states worse than us. On an individual side, especially when you look at our neighbors, I think there is only one neighboring state that has a higher individual top marginal individual rate than we do, and that would be Minnesota.
Yeah, around Sioux City, of course, this is a big issue because of Nebraska and South Dakota, and we are seemingly losing business to either one of those states every month.
Right. And, of course, it's even worse on the corporate side because our top corporate rate is 12%, and that would be the highest in the country.
The governor said she didn't necessarily want to deal with the corporate tax rates this year, and some people were disappointed about that. What do you think? Do you think it's some with this tax reform, do you think it's something you have to do sort of bit by bit?
I think there are certainly positive ways to do that, where you may have some phase-ins or at least structure it so it doesn't all necessarily hit the first year. But I think not taking any action on corporate tax runs the risk of it never being done. So I understand the governor's stance in the sense that she wants more time to gather more information from, like, Iowa's Department of Revenue. So far, all the models they have put forward have been on the individual side, because the individual side provides about 53% of Iowa's general fund revenue, where the corporate income tax only provides about 6 or 7%, I think it is, the Iowa general fund. So I certainly understand the emphasis on the individual side, but I think now is still the time to do something on corporate as well.
Something around here that we talk about a lot in Sioux City has to do with property tax and the TIF credits, and a lot of people really enjoy having those TIF credits in some areas. Others say that it's not fair to other property owners. What's your stance on TIF?
Iowa Taxpayers Association believes that tax incremental financing, or TIF, that it's better known as, can be a good economic tool for cities and counties across this state. However, we do recognize that there are certain overuses that has happened because of present TIF law. So while we support it in a general sense, we do believe there should be some additional limitations put on it, and primarily because to protect the integrity of the original law and why it is best used, we do need to get a little better handle on the overuse to make sure that taxpayers is protected as well.
What's your take on using tax incentives and deductions for, you know, workforce training, workforce housing, the kinds of things that people really want to implement to boost jobs, to get people working in jobs that are, you know, above just basic pay?
Yes. Over the years, our tax credits and deductions have increased substantially, and one reason for that is because of our high income tax rates, both on the individual side and especially on the corporate side. To offset that, there's been some increase in credits and deductions. However, with lowering the top marginal rates and doing tax reform on both the individual and corporate side, would reduce somewhat some of the need on some of the credits and deductions, so they need to be looked at as well. However, we do recognize, not only as an association, but also as with our members, that there are certain credits certainly do quite a bit to increase jobs and economic development within a local jurisdiction, even our state. The R&D tax credit, for one, has certainly held a lot of better paying jobs with engineers in the state of Iowa. The historic tax credit certainly has been a boost on Main Street, Iowa, across the state. So we recognize that some of the credits certainly have a lot of importance, and more than just those two, but they do need to be looked at to see how they best could be structured to fit with a lower tax rate. And so we wouldn't support just getting rid of all of them, and we wouldn't support not looking at them, because when you change your tax rate, you need to look at the credits as well.
There's been a lot of criticism of the state giving out tax incentives to outside corporations, that the money is leaving the state and then we're not getting it back in tax revenue. And they say that's partly to blame for the deficits that the state has had. What do you think about that?
To say that it is a blame would be either an unfair characterization or just outright wrong. Most of the tax incentives, the R&D would be one, even if they are located outside the state, as far as their corporate headquarters, they still provide and have to provide many jobs in the state of Iowa. So so what you will see is there's certainly been an increase to the payroll tax, to the job market, as well as property taxes for the structures that have been built here in Iowa. And that has all been a big increase to Iowa's economy. Some of the criticism falls because tax credits, the first time last fiscal year, crossed over the threshold of $400 million. But that's just what the actual cost of the credit is. It does not reflect accurately what the revenue that those credits, or some of those credits, have certainly provided to the state of Iowa as well. And I think that is a misunderstanding by some that are saying that it cost the state money.
That was Thomas Sands, the president and CEO of the Iowa Taxpayers Association. You're listening to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Mary Hartnett. Backfill payments for property taxes were approved by the Iowa legislature in 2013 as part of the largest tax cut in state history, but now it's unclear whether they will continue at the same rate. Lucas Beankin is with the Iowa State Association of Counties. He says those payments were a necessary part of property tax cuts.
The backfill makes up for the future lost revenue because of the reduction in the taxable value of the commercial and industrial property. So at the time, it was at 100%. The taxable value and the assessed value were equal. So the legislature rolled that back to 90% of the assessed value would be the taxable value. And then, understanding that this would cause a loss in future revenue for the local governments, they decided to put in place a standing limited appropriation to make up for those lost revenue dollars. The first 2 years, it started off as a unlimited appropriation, meaning that whatever the actual loss was, it would be completely backfilled. And then they froze it by operation of the bill, froze it at the fiscal year 17 level. So fiscal year 17, the appropriation was over $152 million for all local governments. And so it is now frozen at that level. And the legislature would have to take action to either eliminate it or not fully fund to the fiscal year 17 level.
What does it mean for local governments to have this frozen? How is it hurting them?
Well, with the backfill fully funded, local governments are made whole to the 100% to the fiscal year 17 level. So what that means is they are being made whole to a point in time. The buy-in from the locals would be other provisions of the bill. So, for example, there was also a rollback to 90% on railroad property that is not backfilled. There's a new classification called multi-residential, which would be things like apartment complexes, assisted living facilities, mobile home parks, and other properties with three or more units. and that was originally classified as commercial property, and now they have their own classification. So for the first 2 years, it was still coupled with commercial, so it went from 100 to 95 to 90% on the rollback, but it continues to decline 3.75% per year until assessment year 2022, when that'll be coupled with residential. And last year, the residential rollback was around 55 or 56%. So we're going to see about a 45% loss in the taxable value of those properties. So to date, that is about $700 million in taxable valuation that is lost. And I would expect that to more than double. It should be in the neighborhood of $1.7 billion in taxable valuation that is lost on multi-residential that is not backfilled. So the local governments are absorbing that loss.
From what I hear from Woodbury County leaders, they're concerned that without that backfill, without the, you know, at least a decent amount of the backfill continuing to be paid, that they won't be able to continue with some of the county services. And I hadn't realized this was such an important issue.
It certainly is very important to our local governments. In Woodbury County, the county government, the backfill dollars are over $1 million. For Sioux City, it's just under $2 million. And for the Sioux City School District, it's just under $1.5 million. So it is significant funding that the local governments are relying on. As far as the options, if the backfill goes away, as you said, we could look at cutting services, which is extremely unpopular. Counties provide quite a number of services, starting with state services at the local level, such as driver's license, boat, ATV, snowmobile registration, marriage license, those things that are actually state functions but are performed by the county. County services such as road and bridge maintenance and repair, law enforcement, county parks, public health, environmental health, mental health, veterans affairs. And counties also make contributions to local organizations that provide services, things like the county fair, local libraries, organizations that provide services like Head Start or WIC, things that are very, very important. And so when you start that discussion about where do we cut, it becomes a very, very difficult conversation to have. The other option, of course, is to raise property taxes so that services are not cut. The problem with that is that you're simply shifting the burden of the property tax. Over 72% of the taxable value in Iowa is in residential and ag. It's about 52% residential and 20% ag statewide. So for the relief that's given to commercial and industrial property, the shift then goes 72% of which goes to houses and farms. And so to give that relief, it's simply a property tax burden shift.
That was Lucas Beankin of the Iowa State Association of Counties. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds says she can't commit to maintaining the backfill payments as of yet. You're listening to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Mary Hartnett. Mental health advocates have been concerned about the future of services since the Woodbury County Board of Supervisors decided to leave its regional group, Sioux Rivers Regional Mental Health and Disability Services. Now the Siouxland Mental Health Center has lost out on its first choice of a site to upgrade Friendship House. It's a home that serves individuals with mental health issues with companionship and chances to explore opportunities. In April, the Sioux Rivers Board agreed to pay $675,000 for Siouxland Mental Health to move ahead with plans to move to a more modern building, but the same day, the board postponed formal action. The Woodbury County Board of Supervisors later voted to withdraw from Sioux Rivers effective July 1st. Siouxland Mental Health is now considering legal action. Friendship House Manager Kathy Roberts says the biggest problem at the house is there just isn't enough space to accommodate everyone who wants to be there.
We do not have enough space here in this building. I mean, in our kitchen, we seat 36 as our max capacity in the kitchen, and we plan our lunches for about 45 every day. So, and that's just one small example. Our arts and crafts area is often too full, and we spill over into the kitchen. Our relaxation room tends to be full. There's times that there's just not enough chairs for people to sit in. Physically, we just don't have enough space. And for someone that might be struggling with some anxiety, being in a space with a lot of people can be tough. And if we could just spread out a little bit more, we would better be able to serve the people that we see.
And you found a building you wanted to use.
We did, and we worked with an architect to see how we could remodel it to work with us, and it was just absolutely a perfect facility, a sturdy building, and great location for us. And unfortunately, someone else found that it was great for them as well.
And you had to have the approval of the region.
Right, right. We did have the approval for the money in April, but we have not been able to receive those funds. And they have now taken it off the table for discussion and rescinded that motion. With the probability of Woodbury County leaving the Sioux Rivers region, they did not want to fund a project in Woodbury County. The hard part with this is it's, and I don't know the exact number, but $150,000-ish of Woodbury County taxpayer money that Woodbury County cannot access to use in their own county. Because all three counties pay in, and then that money is dispersed based on what the region decides. So the portion, that $450,000-some, is what came out of Woodbury County taxpayer money towards that total of $675 that we were originally granted.
You've gone to the regional meetings, you've gone to the county meetings. What have they said to you when you go and bring this up?
One of the supervisors at Sioux Rivers Region had said, "Too bad, so sad." Another said, "Not our problem." It's extremely frustrating to hear those kinds of words in a professional setting. These are elected officials. We've been very happy with our Woodbury County supervisors. They have been very supportive. They are voting for us for all of the things that we're working towards. They believe in us. They're voting for us. And unfortunately, it comes down to a 2-to-1 vote many times.
So you've taken some extra steps here.
Yes. Siouxland Mental Health retained an attorney to look at the legality of all of this, and we have sent a demand letter to the region demanding that they pay the $675,000 that was voted on in April of 2017, and we're waiting to hear for a response. We really don't want to take it to any kind of litigation. We'd like to just work it out. But if it doesn't work in that way, we'll seek whatever it is that we need to do. We'll follow through.
What kind of reaction have you gotten?
To my knowledge, we haven't received anything yet.
I believe Jeremy Taylor on the Woodbury County Board of Supervisors has said that he thinks it's unfortunate that this has happened.
He has been a big supporter of us. In fact, he was here yesterday on a tour of Friendship House. He's been here several times, but he was here yesterday and just, you know, reassures us that they're supporting us.
Is this kind of a waiting game now?
It's extremely frustrating, you know, just being that space is our biggest issue. But we continue to do everything that we can for the people that we serve.
Who are the people that you serve?
We serve adults with chronic mental illness, so they might have schizophrenia, bipolar, severe depression, anxiety. We serve people from, 18, 20 something up to, we have a guy that comes that's 80 years old. mostly, I would say kind of middle age, 20, 30, 50-ish, kind of in that area. But we have parents, we have spouses, we have, people that are living on their own, people that are raising families, we have people that work, people that are unable to work, we have people that are going to school. We have just a wide variety of people that we see that struggle with different symptoms, and we try to help them on their road to wellness.
For, you call it Friendship House for Friendship.
Absolutely. We work on socialization skills, just knowing how to navigate the community and be a part of our community, whether that be just the social skills on how to behave, how to, enjoy different events, whether that be going to an event at the Tyson Center or going to something at the Orpheum, we get to do those things, go to an Explorers game, kind of learning to navigate those kind of things, as well as, building friendships and those kind of things. We also offer a lot of different mental health groups and classes. Some of those are set up just like support groups. Some of them are more like a classroom teaching kind of thing. Some of them are a mix of both. And each person that comes here can choose as much or as little as they want to do. There's no requirement for somebody to participate in certain things.
It seems like it must be a big help for a lot of folks who have mental health issues, because the isolation is a huge factor, isn't it?
Isolation is huge. And I hear so many people say they don't know where they would be without Friendship House. They might be sitting alone at home, their symptoms getting worse, ending up hospitalized. I think a lot of people would have a lot higher level of services that they would require to be able to remain living independently.
So when you get a new building, what would you like to be able to do there?
I have some silly things that would be wonderful. I would love a janitorial dump sink. Something so simple. I mean, we mop our kitchen floor and our guys have to pick up the bucket to be able to dump it out. Something silly like that. We would like to have a facility that we're able to have a shower in each of our restrooms. It would be great for our members that maybe are homeless or, we want to encourage more physical activity. So open space for movement and physical activity would be wonderful. We also need some group room space, classroom space, things like that, and some fun space. Pool table, maybe a foosball table,
That was Kathy Roberts, the manager of Sioux City-based Friendship House, a center that welcomes people with mental health issues to share companionship, meals, and other activities each day.
Mark Koenigs, and I rap under the name Protege.
Jason Reinert, and I rap under the name Ebola.
And together you are?
Dad.
I'll be ballin' on a budget. Double coupons at the store like Fudge It. Dad's bid. Pro Wing XJ900. Sweepstakes hoping that I won it. Please!
Okay, so how did you two come together and become dad?
We had both been rapping in Sioux City in the hip-hop scene for years and years, and just decided we were going to make a couple of songs together and see how it came out. And when we did, it kind of just formed itself into this group, because we started rapping about things that we were actually doing, which are dad things. So
last year you released your first album, right?
Right.
The Night of the Living Dad, and mm-hmm. that had 12 songs on it, and about fatherhood. And you had that one song, Go to Work.
Right.
That might be the one that people know, because that's the one that ended up being a viral music video, which
right.
I don't know that you were ever expecting to happen.
No. I think Jason actually put a post out on the dad page the other day, kind of saying, where would you guys like to see dad perform, towns, whatnot? And it's still hard to believe how many views it got, but things like that, when people started posting like London and where, I don't know, what other it's international, crazy,
Germany,
and we're like, okay, I guess a few people did watch it. But,
yeah.
That's where they wanted to see you now?
Yeah, there's people from London and Germany commenting that they want us to come
here.
And it's obviously through, I'm going to guess that video is how somebody from Germany was able to listen to stuff. So it's just wild how social media and different outlets can, the reach it has, I guess. It's hard to believe.
Yeah. We definitely weren't aiming for it. We were in the Battle of the Bands at the Hard Rock, and we went through the first round, and it seemed like the crowd was pretty decent, but it was all hip-hop that round, so we were kind of thinking, we need to get more people in here for the next round for us, otherwise there's no chance for us. So we decided, let's make a video. It's probably the easiest thing we could do to get some people in the area to know about us, and away it went.
Yeah, that was the initial audience we were looking for, was just people here to maybe get a few more heads into the show, and it now has turned into somebody from Germany wanting us to come there, however that works.
Let's listen to a little of that song. This is Go to Work.
I got a mortgage I'm paying, and gas and electric and water and student loans, groceries and clothing, insurance and telephones. Won't get a loan, I keep treading with head above water. My son and my daughter give daddy love, wouldn't trade it for nothing. Not even women and fame and dough. You could say that I'm bluffing. Honestly, how would you even know? I've been a daddy for 7 years counting. Can tell you that youth doesn't come from a fountain. The mountain I'm climbing, it only gets steeper, but never alone, cause my wife is a keeper. Yo,
far from optional, family comes first. It's only logical. Let's go to work.
You know, in that video, you're walking through the aisles of Home Depot, mm-hmm. and parts of this video are really quite humorous. You know, it's a song about working the 9-to-5, driving a minivan, and worrying about mortgage payments and all that mm-hmm. stuff that comes with being an adult.
It's real.
But then, you know, there's also a serious message of family comes first, and that's one of the lines that gets repeated in the song. And I was just kind of curious how you landed on that, and, you know, why that was a phrase that you kept repeating throughout.
I don't know. I guess once we got into that, you know, you obviously can't go with the way that normal rap goes, you know, these days. So if that's, I don't know. Instead of rapping about money and cars and such, that's important to us is the family aspect of it. So who's to tell us we can't be positive while we rap, I suppose.
Yeah, we were just showboating real life a little bit there. So yeah. I don't know how I would put that.
Nice.
Well, you know, you brought up an interesting point of, you know, it's no secret that there are a lot of hip-hop and rap songs about sex, drugs, money, and women with varying degrees of vulgarity in them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's one end of the spectrum. And then on the other end is someone like Brother Ali, who you have opened for.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for those who are not familiar with him, you know, he's Muslim, he's albino, and he's from Minneapolis. But his song, you know, one of his popular songs right now is called Own Light, and it's really about healing and authentic living, love and belonging. And then there's, you know, a spiritual undertone to it. So very different ends of the spectrum. And for you two, it's really about fatherhood or what you call dad life, right?
Yeah. And I guess I shouldn't have portrayed all rap as the degrading rap, because, you know, people like Brother Ali is out there, but unfortunately, you know,
that's not the norm.
No.
Yeah, when most time when you turn on the radio, you're going to hear that stuff you would rather not want your children to listen to, and not Brother Ali with some uplifting type stuff, which is unfortunate. But
I guess it's really, you know, a lot of people, when they make music, want to explain their life experiences. The goal of the art is to explain what you do, or maybe someone can relate to how I am or how I act or the things that I do. So I think more than anything, it was just keeping real to who we were as people and trying to make music with it.
And I think unintentionally, really, the relatability is the key to the whole thing. So many people that one of my favorite compliments, and I've gotten it more than 20 times is, man, I don't even like rap, but you guys, like, it's almost like I can handle it. And I don't know if that is a compliment sometimes, but I'll take it from people that, you know, despise it. And then like, but this is pretty good. It's got people, I don't know, coming out of their comfort zone and listening to more stuff. Maybe they'll open up their ears some more.
Hopefully. That's a Midwestern nice compliment.
Right. Yeah, I think our niceness gets us in trouble sometimes too, but hey.
So do you let your kids listen to your music?
Of course. That's another one of my favorite things from this whole experience is I can record in front of them. I can practice in front of them. When I got into rap, I was, you know, rapping about what I heard other rappers rapping about, because that's how I thought it had to be. But ultimately, this is helping me find myself as an artist and realize, you know, the more you rap about what's really going on, the more it all kind of opens up, confidence, the all that good stuff, I suppose.
The first album had, you know, some cuss words in it and such, so I don't let my littlest one listen to some of that stuff.
Right.
Going forward, it's not like that, so.
Yeah, we kind of helped us realize that a lot of those, even in our first album that were in there, we were like, man, that was really unnecessary. Like,
yeah, why didn't even, say you know, that word for no reason?
easy fixes to expand the audience beyond, you know, anything I can think of. So this second album, I think we did her 100% curse-free, didn't we?
Yep.
Yeah, so it wasn't near as hard as we thought it would be, but.
Let's go to one of the new songs from your second album, which is being released this month. This one can have us all looking forward to summertime. Here's Fire on the Grill.
Raw meat getting formed into patties. Daughter's helping now set the table up for daddy. I'm a savage with asparagus, pairing it with American and wrapping it in bacon like a baby in the carriages. I be barely on a level with the stovetop. Still lights even though the knob broke off. Go with Kohl's when we out of propane and hand me the lighter fluid and I'ma squirt the whole thing. Skeet skeet on a charcoal brick and all my grill marks similar to barcodes. It's a whole different kind of element from cooking it to smelling it. Salmon in the smoker and overhead is a pelican. Praying on my picnic.
You know, you'd mentioned kind of, you know, your early writings, songwriting before dad, and you know, were you pulling from experiences that you had not lived?
I definitely have before. I'm sure in year one or two when I was trying to rap, I was listening to Fabolous and Tupac, and I'm sure I had a couple lines about guns and I'd never shot one in my life, but that was, you know, it was a time when I was realizing I was good with words and rhyming them, and if there was a gun rhyme that sounded good and fit, I would just use it because, I don't know, I suppose that's how a lot of people go into it at first, just thinking they need to do what they hear, and yeah. So yeah, I am guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say probably a good part of what I had done before was, you know, kind of mimicking what people had done before.
Yeah.
And that I had heard, but once you get to a point where you just, it's not about showboating for me anymore, rather. Like, that seems like the goal previously was to showboat and be like, I'm the coolest, I'm the best angle. And now, maybe not so much the best, but
there's a
enjoying what I do.
Arrogance factor, I think, that just comes along with the genre and way. I'd say we do that sometimes even with dad, but it's a little different, like. Yeah, try to out-dad me or something. That's as cocky as we can.
I'm the best dad.
We're going to get real. We're going to real talk.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask, you know, what is one of the most challenging things about being a dad?
I would say, you know, trying to juggle work life, dad life, and then adding this extra little project in as well that, you know, it would be nice someday if we could get a couple more people to see it, and this would be, you know, if this was job number one and like mom could stay home or something, and then it'd be different. But right now we're still regular 9-to-5 dad in it. And so, yeah, I would say the balance of work, wife, child, music. We usually, you know, obviously family first, so if we do meet up, it's usually at 9 when everybody else is in bed, and we lose a couple more hours of sleep than we can probably afford, but if that's kind of the way we got to work with it right now. So I would say the balance, and it's, you know, we all know it's hard keeping everybody happy in every category, but, and that's a thing about dad too that's, I think, made it work so well, is that if something is happening in that aspect, you know, family, that we've talked about many times, backburnering this project to make sure, because if that isn't there, then we've essentially became the liars that we we started out rapping about. So yeah, the balance, I suppose, for me.
I would say probably something very similar to that. I wish that I had more time to spend with my kids every day as a dad. But, you know, obviously, in order to make a life for them, you have to work, you have to go to the job. And
so American.
Yeah, and come home and get a couple hours in the evening with them. And I don't know, that's the toughest part for me. I would like to spend more time with them. But the music, I make sure, like he's saying, that it's all after that, so that it doesn't get in the way of the limited time that I do have with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've kind of noticed that obviously there's deadlines, but when we do it, the approach to music like we do our regular dad life, making sure that's first and then music comes after. And, you know, this doesn't have to be done by Friday. It, you know, the music comes out cleaner, doesn't seem forced, and it's, you know, so we can put out stuff that we are confident in.
Dad has a new album being released this month. We'll leave you with New Day from Dad to the Bone. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Ellie Carson.
A new day and I'm finding a way to be a better version of myself.
Better version of myself.
Just one day it'll all make sense. Until then, steady stack my wealth.
Steady stack my wealth.
Cause my kids will know right from wrong and give respect where respect is due.
Where respect is due.
Cause one day they'll be on their own. How they act will reflect the view.
And it reflect like,
I'm awake, I know I'm late. Quick splash to the face, then it's cornflakes. Bran muffins just in case you didn't have nothing. If you don't want to take a cab, then stop fronting. Brush your teeth, comb your hair, get your goof on, or cut it out like a coupon. We gotta go, this the USA. You don't say what I do, but you do what I say. It's pandemonium, can you handle the sodium? Or do you want to spend an hour watching Nickelodeon? That kind of sounds cool, I might be down to. If I didn't have a work thing around too. I like your style though, you down for getting wild bro. In under 5 minutes, I'ma need you in the ride, yo. Sit back and get them seatbelts clicking. We on a mission cause every journey is different. A new day and I'm finding a way to be a better version of myself.
Better version of myself.
Just one day it'll all make sense. Until then, steady stack my wealth.
Steady stack my wealth.
Cause my kids will know right from wrong and give respect where respect is due.
Where respect is due.
Just one day they'll be on their own. How they act will reflect the view.
And it reflect like
my job's got perks. I ain't talking about pills, but I'm set. Style's cold, probably give you the chills. Dad skills, pay bills. I don't mess with the frills. I'm vocabulary driven, living life for the thrills, like a roller coaster with the valleys and peaks. First words, first steps, wet the bed, chase sheets. Yo, while it's reality, opponent's sick as the beast. The relatability has got them filling the seats. See, it ain't a gimmick, it's the way that I am. Real life dad rapping, just a part of the plan. Try to put a kid to bed, it's like the art of a scam. Hit the lab late night and get it started again. One time for the dads that be short on sleep. Two times for the moms cause the connection is deep. Three times for the children that are earning their keep. Yo, I'm out, you can leave a message after me.
Hey, Jason, J-Bird, what up? It's Pro. Sitting here listening to that newest beat you sent me. Actually, the other morning I had some granola bars, you know. I was kind of like, hey, dad got bars. And we did like a dad got bars thing, but, you know, really brought some bars, you know. The good old track that shows we're not messing around, which we aren't. And by the way, if you're coming over to record later, I need a pack of AA batteries. If you could swing by the store, that'd be great. And raspberry toaster strudels. See you at 9. Later.